morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, April 29, 2020. More cases of COVID-19 continue to pop up in South Sudan.
All 28 confirmed cases and 8 cases with inclusive test results are contacts of the fifth case.
And a Sudanese politician tested positive for COVID-19 in Khartoum.
We hold the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council, the Prime Minister, and the public prosecutor the full responsibility of the health situation of our father and his fellow detainees.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's high-level task force for COVID-19 announced 28 new positive cases of coronavirus in the country, bringing the total number of COVID-19 patients to 34. A public health expert says the country should prepare to handle more cases of COVID-19 across South Sudan. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Dr. Akwai Cham, an associate professor at the College of Public Health at the University of Juba, describes the 24-hour increase in the number of COVID-19 patients in South Sudan as worrying. Cham says the development is a clear sign that the virus is now being transmitted locally within residential areas.
When you have for example, an import case, a case coming from outside, it is easy to track, right? But now we start having a community transmission in which you don't know who's getting what and who's giving it to who. And this is very worrying.
On Tuesday, South Sudan's high-level task force for COVID-19 announced 28 new cases of COVID-19 after carrying out laboratory tests on 139 samples. First Vice President Riek Machar, who is deputy chairman of the task force, says 10 other results, including 2 drug drivers at Nimule border crossing, were unclear and needed to be retested.
All 28 confirmed cases and 8 cases with inclusive test results are contacts of the fifth case, who was a member of Tong Community Peace Mission. All of them, that's referring to the cases, are isolated in same quarantine site. There are 43.
Before yesterday's newly confirmed cases, South Sudan reported only 6 COVID-19 patients. Machar says the new numbers should make people wake up to the seriousness of the situation.
So this is a serious situation. We want our citizens to respect the directives given to them by the high-level task force so that we protect ourselves and our nation.
South Sudan's high-level task force says it has tested nearly 600 samples of COVID-19 so far. Yesterday, the task force announced the night curfew begins today an hour earlier at 7 p.m. until further notice. It banned all bus, tea and scissor stalls from opening and ordered all restaurants to offer only takeout services. Machar says all the new cases are contacts of the fifth person identified earlier this month as coronavirus positive. He is a member of the Tony Community Peace Initiative who tested positive on April 23rd. The task force says it immediately put the patient in an isolation and traced his contacts. Machar says all contacts and members of the Tong Community Peace Initiative, as well as all new cases, are in quarantine.
The high-level task force orders quarantine for at least 14 days of all contacts of the fifth case and all members of the Tong Community Peace Initiative. Non-compliance with these directives will attract punitive action, including forceful quarantine. The high-level task force orders quarantine for at least 14 days of all contacts of the 6 cases and all 101 mourners who traveled to Abyei last week.
Dr. Cham says new efforts to fight the pandemic in South Sudan should include consideration of mass testing, even though that would not be easy. He says mass testing should begin in Juba. Dr. Cham says citizens need to do their part to fight the virus.
Let the citizens not take this as a responsibility of the government. It is every one of us. You have to be responsible for your own life, for the protecting of family life. And it is not an issue of the government, as so many people understand it. But you have to take it as a personal. Be a responsible citizen.
The task force has urged the public to practice social distancing and to wash their hands regularly with the soap. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Family members of a former Sudanese National Party Congress official who is held in Kobar prison in Khartoum say the politician tested positive for COVID-19 and has been moved to a quarantine center. There is no official statement by health authorities in Sudan about this case, but family members of other detainees are expressing concern about the conditions of inmates at various prisons in Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Hossam Ahmed Haroun, one of Ahmed Haroun's sons, confirmed to South Sudan in Focus his father tested positive for COVID-19 Tuesday and is being held at police hospital in the Buri neighborhood of Eastern Khartoum. Speaking in Arabic, family members are concerned about their father's health status as well as those of other political detainees.
My father is diabetic, and lately he was operated for meniscus on his knee, and his health situation had been very bad. All of them are above 65 of age, and almost all of them are suffering from different underlying diseases. This would really put them at high risk of contracting COVID-19.
Ahmed says his family wrote several letters to the transitional authorities in Sudan 2 months ago, calling for their fathers as well as other detainees to be released and kept under house arrest so that they would have access to better health services. Unfortunately, Ahmed says government officials did not listen to the family's concerns. He says the government should be held accountable for any harm that may occur to the detainees from the pandemic.
We hold the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council, the Prime Minister, and the public prosecutor the full responsibility of the health situation of our father and his fellow detainees. We address all the executive entities who are responsible in this matter in Sudan, including the Sovereign Council and the public attorney, but we have not been given any positive answer up to this moment.
Haroun and other members of former President Omar al-Bashir's administration have been held at Kobar Central Prison since April last year, when Bashir was ousted from power by military leaders. A majority of the detainees have yet to be charged in the court of law. Ahmed Abdullah al-Bashir, a nephew to former President Omar al-Bashir, says his family is also worried about the health situation of their loved ones at Kobar Central Prison. Speaking in Arabic, Abdullah says for the past 2 months, they have been denied access to the prison.
And to make the situation worse, since the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in this country, we were not allowed to visit them. We are really worried about their health situation.
Both Ahmed and Abdullah are calling on the transitional government to try the detainees in the court of law or free them on health grounds. They are also calling on the national and international rights groups to intervene before it is too late. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The United Nations says COVID-19 pandemic will impact the peace processes in Sudan and South Sudan. The UN says restrictions brought about by the global pandemic will also affect the security situation in the contested Abyei administrative area. Nabil Biagio has the story for VOA from Washington.
During a video teleconference call on Tuesday, the United Nations Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa, Parfait Onanga Anyanga, briefed the UN Security Council on the progress of implementing Resolution 2046, which concerns outstanding bilateral issues between Sudan and South Sudan. Onanga Anyanga told the Council that for both countries, the coronavirus affects far more than their economies.
In Sudan and South Sudan, the COVID-19 pandemic has wide-ranging health, human, and socio-economic implications, compounded by plummeting oil prices, a desert locust invasion, and climatic vagaries. I am particularly worried by the exponential increase in the number of COVID-related deaths in Sudan.
Sudan has registered more than 300 coronavirus infections, while South Sudan has more than 30 confirmed cases, 28 of those recorded in the last 24 hours. Onanga Anyanga notes that the relationship between the two neighboring countries has improved significantly since the ouster of Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir and the ushering in of the transitional government of Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. He says both countries have stopped accusing each other of supporting each other's rebels and are generally playing positive roles in achieving peace in the two countries. South Sudan has been mediating and hosting Sudan's peace talks in Juba, while Sudan has played the role of a guarantor of South Sudan's peace agreement that gave birth to South Sudan's recently formed transitional government of national unity. But Onanga Anyanga says COVID-19-related restrictions are hampering further progress in the two countries.
The pandemic will also likely have a negative effect on the peace processes in the two countries, including by significantly slowing down engagements. My office is currently coordinating a UN-wide technical support to enable IGAD Secretariat to formulate a regional strategy and develop an action plan in response to the pandemic pursuant to the decisions of the IGAD Virtual Summit meeting of 30th of March, chaired by Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok.
Also addressing the meeting yesterday, the United Nations Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, expressed concern over the security situation in Abyei, the disputed area between Sudan and South Sudan, where the United Nations Interim Security Force for Abyei, or UNISFA, is tasked with the protection of civilians and humanitarians.
At the local level, the security situation in the Abyei area remains volatile, with episodes of heightened tensions between the Ngok Dinka and the Miseria communities, an increase in criminality, and the presence of armed elements in UNISFA's area of responsibility.
Lacroix says three foreign police units, or FPUs, which were supposed to arrive in Abyei soon to help with peacekeeping duties, may not be coming for some time.
The deployment of the three authorized FPUs, expected to be on the ground by July 2020, is facing serious delays due to the travel restrictions decided by the government of Sudan to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. The process for deployment of the first identified FPU from Ethiopia was well advanced by early March, with the completion of the pre-deployment visit to the mission area. However, all further steps had to be suspended in view of the COVID-19 pandemic outbreak.
Lacroix says UNISFA is working on peace building through dialogue in order to diffuse the tension between the Dinka Ngok and Miseria communities in Abyei. He says the mission will also continue to engage Khartoum and Juba to help with implementing its mandate. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the impact of COVID-19 on job markets in South Sudan. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your most valuable possession?
My valuable possession right now would be my laptop, because I have a lot of confidential documents on it that are very dear to me and I can't afford to lose right now.
I think my smartphone that my dad bought for me. Yeah, I treasure it so much because it was so expensive and I was so happy.
being in school means so much to me. Yes, I know I've not yet finished, but I'm struggling to reach there because I know it is important to me and it will be something good to me.
My most valuable possession is a photo I took with an important personality in the entertainment industry, and it's an important possession to me because anytime I look at it, it encourages me and inspires me to attain higher heights.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Some non-governmental organizations and UN agencies say they will continue to pay employees their full salaries during the COVID-19 pandemic. Private employers in South Sudan have reduced working hours due to COVID-19. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
Many South Sudanese say they can no longer afford to feed their families or meet their other basic needs since the COVID-19 protective measures were put in place. To prevent the economic situation from worsening, UN agencies and non-governmental organizations are keeping staff on the payroll whether they work or not. Justin Miteng, the country director for the Alliance for Green Revolution in Africa, or AGRA, a group that works to improve agriculture, says his group is keeping office cleaners and other workers on the payroll during the stay-at-home directives.
Those staff of ours who are drivers and cleaners who may not necessarily work from home, we have kept them in our payroll for hopefully the period of time that the shutdown will be announced over.
United Nations Mission in South Sudan Chief David Scherer asked national staff to work from home to prevent further spread of the virus. He says it would be unfair to refuse to pay employees salaries whether they are working from home or not during the pandemic.
We felt that there was an unnecessary risk of the virus being passed between South Sudanese and international staff and international staff and South Sudanese. So we decided it was much better that they didn't come in. But we've kept everybody on full pay.
Irene Aya, the principal of the Media Development Institute, a journalism school run by the Association for Media Development in South Sudan, says although students were sent home to avoid overcrowding, the institute still pays its trainers their full salaries.
MDI has responded by closing the school for now, but we continue to pay our consultants. Of course, our consultants are training on consultancy basis, but we pay them per month. We give them monthly salaries. And because of that, we laid the current contract. We have to continue paying them until June.
Some employers say they do not have the financial capacity to continue paying their workers. Jackson Weneseyo, Program Manager of Arise Socio-Cultural Foundation, a national organization working to improve the welfare of communities in Western Equatorial State, says his group had to lay off 6 paid staff.
We decided early this week that we should lay off our staff because it will expose our staff to contract the virus, which will really have a negative impact on our operation in the state as well as in the country.
On April 6th, Labor Minister James Hoffmeyer ordered NGOs and private sector employers in a circular to give non-essential staff a paid leave apart from their annual leave to help them cope with government restrictions put in place to curb the spread of the pandemic. The Labor Ministry also warned employers against laying off staff during the pandemic. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
At least 2.8 million people die annually around the world because of work-related diseases, according to a report by the International Labour Organization. The report estimates that about 2.4 million of those deaths are related to occupational disease. As Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, Kenyan workers, especially those in the health sector, have been expressing concerns about their safety at work during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Report by the International Labour Organization indicates that at least 2.4 million people deaths worldwide are related to occupational diseases. The United Nations said that the World Day for Safety and Health at Work will focus on addressing the outbreak of infectious disease at work and in particular on COVID-19 pandemic, recognizing the challenges governments and employers, workers and the whole world is facing. Anne Thumbi, a nurse and a nominated member of County Assembly in Kenya, who currently work as a nurse in a local hospital, said that at this time, when the country is fighting COVID-19 pandemic, most health workers are at risk and hence need to observe safety.
Today being Occupational Safety Day, I would encourage my colleagues, my healthy workers colleagues, wherever you are in the whole world, keep safe. It is important to know that it is your right as a healthy worker to work in a healthy environment.
With concerns directed to continue rising number of COVID-19 infections in some parts of the world and the ability to sustain declining in others, governments face challenges as they try to combat the COVID-19 pandemic and protect safety and health at work. Ms. Thumbi says most health facilities are facing challenges since people are not informed about the disease and therefore putting the life of health workers at risk.
I want to encourage my colleagues, wherever they are in this whole world, that always remember to keep safe. Have your PPEs on.
Health workers in Kenya have been complaining of lack of enough personal protective equipment. Kenya Medical Practitioners and Dentist Union Secretary General Chibanzi Mwachonda said that the health workers should be protected and need to set up a big facility since COVID-19 cases in Kenya are on the rise.
There is need to set up a big facility beyond what we already have in anticipation of a surge capacity of cases, especially those coming from the slums.
Secretary General Kenya National Union of Nurses Seth Panyako said that however much the health workers are facing challenges, they are managing the disease effectively.
We, the Kenyan nurses as well as other health workers, we have something to smile about because we are actually managing COVID-19, about our ability to use our education, our experience to manage COVID-19. But when you look at the management of the welfare of the health workers, we have nothing to celebrate about as health workers.
The annual World Day for Safety and Health at Work promotes a prevention of occupational accidents and disease globally. And today, countries worldwide mark this day worried as the deadly pandemic COVID-19 continues to threaten workers' livelihoods. Reporting for viewers, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
Police in Juba have warned young men and women against crowding on top of Jebel Kujur under the pretext of mountain hiking to stay fit during the COVID-19 pandemic. South Sudan's high-level task force for COVID-19 has directed citizens to avoid crowds and to practice social distancing. For VOA News, Viola Elias has more from Juba.
Juma Deng, a resident of Juba Rock City area, says he often hikes Jebel Kujur for exercise. Deng admits that he had gone hiking after President Kiir's directives last month banning social gathering and asking people to observe social distancing of at least 2 meters to curb the spread of COVID-19. Speaking in Arabic, Deng says many young people climb the mountain in the morning and weekends to pose for photos and meet friends.
I used to go there because I live near Jebel Kujur, but now many people have started coming there. In the past, we would go there as part of a physical exercise because it is not easy to climb the mountain to the top. I have stopped climbing the mountain because many started coming to hike and the place has become overcrowded.
Deng says young people should avoid going to social gathering, including tea places, shisha stalls, and football matches during the pandemic. South Sudanese youth Moses Yassin says he too has gone hiking Jebel Kujur several times. He says he last went hiking a month ago. He says he stopped when he realized the risk of contracting COVID-19 after noticing that some of the youth who went hiking Jebel Kujur had returned from countries with high recorded cases of COVID-19.
I remember that the last time I was there, we even talked about it. There are guys who came from Australia. They got locked inside the country when the government cancelled all international flights. So that alone was a threat to some of us. So that was when I decided to pull out of hiking.
Yassin says, after realizing the danger of communal hiking now, he and some friends are trying to convince others not to gather at the top of the mountain during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Be honest, that is totally wrong.
What exactly has been happening was wrong, because at such a time, we all need to play our part. And it is very unfortunate that even the guys who are educated, people who are expected to be role models in disseminating information and being exemplary to the communities, are doing this.
Major General Daniel Justin, a spokesperson for South Sudan's National Police Service, says the Interior Ministry has received complaints from residents around the mountain Kujur over the behavior of youths who hike the mountain on weekends pretending to be doing it for physical exercise. Speaking in Arabic, Justin says the Interior Ministry has deployed police officers at the foot of the mountain to stop youth from hiking Jebel Kujur.
We have stopped them. Right now, no one goes to Jebel Kujur. So our police forces go there every Monday so as to stop the youth from coming there over the weekends. Right now, we have our police car stationed there and no one has been coming so far. We have talked to those who used to come there, and now the place is quiet.
South Sudan's high-level task force for COVID-19 has ordered the closure of all bars, tea and shisha stalls, and directed restaurants to provide only takeout service to reduce crowds and prevent the spread of COVID-19. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Not Easy by P Square. Baba God na your hand working, Robi Ai na your hand working. I say it's not easy, oh, oh, oh. To the sing and the dance and the people that rejoice, oh, oh, oh. My brother, my sister, no need today, oh, oh, oh. If we could do a party, we could tango the day. Baba God na your hand working, Robi Ai. I say no be lie, yeah. No be everybody. Why sleep for night? You wake up, see the light, yeah. See the future is bright, yeah. I need the enter for eye, yeah. Make you do your best, yeah. Papa God go handle the rest, yeah. Even if you no get money, yeah. They jolly they shake body. No need to get their body, yeah. If it no be God way, yeah. Last one be the dead body, yeah. Nobody be no baby. When you fall, you go stand up again. You try him again, again and again and again. Cause it's not easy, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. To the singer, the dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. My brother, my sister, no need today. Oh, oh, oh. If we could do a party, yeah, make we the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your man working, yeah. I see it. My people, yeah, on a good day. Nobody will go for this one to suffer, yeah. Then a bad day. Now you come today, another man tomorrow. My brother, which kind of life with this? Everybody getting always to follow. We've been listening to P Square with the song Not Easy. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay at home. Wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from quarantine centers. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Again, again, again,